Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together.
The only way,
that I can keep my way pure
is to guard it.
According to this word,
this word is a lamp unto my feet
and a light unto my path.
Today,
I will receive
the word
implanted
that is able
to save
my soul.
Keep standing,
turn to Hebrews chapter 1.
This year in
2024, we're going to stand up while we read for a while.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
We stand for judges
and stuff.
Oh, Lord, say
that thing.
I know
I use a bunch of
scripture, but we're going to
at least stand for this
first one.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter
1,
verse 1.
It'll be on the
screen, but
y'all got to start
bringing some of y'all paper
Bibles.
Some
of y'all, your
batteries might run
out and you need the Lord.
God,
after he
spoke long ago
to the fathers and
the prophets in
many portions and in
many ways,
in these
last days, verse
2,
has spoken
to us in
his Son,
whom he
appointed
heir of
how many things?
All.
Through whom
also
he made the
world.
Verse 3,
he
is
the
radiance
of his glory.
The
exact
representation
of
his nature.
And
upholds
all
things
by the word
of
his power.
When
he had made
purification
of sins,
he
sat down
at
the right hand
of the
majesty
on high.
Let's do
verse 3 again.
He
is
the
radiance
of his
glory.
The
exact,
say exact,
representation
of his
nature
and
upholds
all things
by the word
of his power.
When
he
made
purification
of sins,
he
sat down
at
the right hand
of
the majesty
on
high.
As
you're taking
your seat,
just say,
he's worthy.
He's worthy.
Now live
like it.
Go on,
sit down for
a while.
Live
like it.
Mm-hmm.
All
right.
That's
beautiful.
That's
beautiful.
That's beautiful.
As we
continue
in our
year of order,
we
focus or
refocus for
many of us
our attention
on what the
Lord has said,
this
issue of
lost honor.
Some
of us have
fallen away
from honoring God
and didn't even
realize it.
But
as we have been
declaring,
as we work
through this great
Christological book
of Hebrews,
Jesus
is
the greatest.
I
said the greatest.
He's
not just great.
He's
the greatest.
He's
the GOAT.
He's
the greatest.
And his
position is
first
should
actually
cause us
to live
a certain way.
I really
don't understand
when we
get to talking
about how great
the Lord is
and keep living
the way we be
living.
Sadly,
many of
us say that Jesus
is first,
say
that he's greatest,
but
our lives
do not
exemplify
that
reality.
So
the question
is,
does
my life
line
up
with
what
I know
to be
true?
Or
does my life
line up with what I keep saying. And recently, I was sent a sermon. Reverend Anderson in Texas, I was sent a sermon to listen to, and the preacher, Reverend Anderson, began to recount a story of the great reformer Martin Luther. Not Martin Luther King, Martin Luther. I know the King's Day is coming up, but you know, sometimes we get confused. The reformer, Martin Luther, who nailed his 95 theses to the wall. Martin Luther is said to have suffered with great depression. It's funny because I can remember reading some of Martin Luther's letters, especially to clergy, and Martin Luther was prone to cuss you out. He would. In between the scriptures, he would just tell you all about yourself. You could just tell he was an angry man. He was mad about a bunch of stuff. And he suffered with what some writers say was debilitating depression. Some of us in here may be able to relate. What I am aware of is that sometimes what you won't deal with will taint what you're called to. That's all right. So Martin Luther, struggling with depression, woke up one morning for breakfast. And his wife, was already downstairs cooking in the kitchen. When Martin Luther approached her, Melita, she was dressed in all black. Would have been odd for this day for Martin Luther to come downstairs and see his wife adorned in all this black. Martin Luther said, "What is wrong with you? Why are you dressed in such a fashion?" The wife of the great reformer proclaimed, "God is dead." Martin Luther was taken back. He rebuked his wife. He said, "Don't you ever say that again. That's heresy. I can't believe that you would declare that God is dead." His wife, as only a good wife can, said, "What is the difference in me saying it and you living like it?" Sometime it take that type of talk. They say that was the last day he dealt with depression. Snapped him out of it that very hour. Ooh, husbands, sometimes we don't like how they say it, but it be the truth anyhow. It's a response that some of us need to hear. What's the difference? Many of us shouting, running, twirling, dancing, but not living like it. Not living like we believe that he's the greatest power. Your posts don't reflect it. Your outfit didn't look like it. Your inboxes don't display it. The way you talk to people don't display it. "Oh, Lord, you're great. You're first. But you're mean. You nasty. You cantankerous. You hold unforgiveness and bitterness and strife." So he's worthy. The issue is we just don't live like it. It's a mindset that we must bring into our key verse today. It's still on your screen. He's the radiance of his glory. We're talking about Jesus. The exact representation. Ooh, I didn't start my timer. Look at that. More time. The exact representation of his nature, upholds all things by the word of his power. When he made purification of sins, he sat down. So there are 5 points in this verse that demand our attention. 5 phrases, if you will, that speak to the preeminence of Jesus. One, he's the radiance of his glory. Two, it's right there in the text, just right in your Bible. The exact representation of his nature. Three, he upholds all things by the word of his power. Can't wait to get to that one. Four, he made purification of sins. Jesus. Five, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, y'all know me by now. Ain't no way I'm going to get through all five of those. I'm going to try to get through the first two. He's the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. See, when we say he's worthy, we are ascribing worth or value. And when you recognize that something's valuable, there should be change. Amen. For instance, when something has value and it's available to you, you should pursue it a certain way. Y'all don't understand. If someone says, I mean, we see it with stuff like the lottery. Come on now. When that Powerball gets big, folk be buying tickets like crazy. Don't y'all be looking at me in that tone of voice. Huh? Y'all know. Some of y'all done got a couple Powerball tickets. Don't look at me like that. Like, shh, don't tell nobody. You done went in with your coworkers. Huh? Like, how many tickets we gonna buy? Huh? Because $900 million split between five people. We're going to be all right. And so you pursue it a certain way. You pursue because it's valuable. When something has value and you believe it has value, you handle it a certain way. If I handed you something and said, it's priceless. You ain't gonna throw it around. You're not just gonna sit there and they say, this is a priceless artifact worth millions, maybe billions, you know. And we throw that priceless word around a lot, but priceless really means that we really have nothing to compare this to. Therefore, we can't place a value on it. See, the word greatest actually does the Lord a disjustice. It's just the best we got. A better term, Danielle Bird, would probably be priceless. Priceless. How much is the Lord worth? It's not like you can say a lot. No, really. Because everybody has a different version of what a lot is. Your lot and my lot and somebody else's lot might be two different lots. And so when something has value and it's available, you pursue it a certain way. When something has value and you believe it, you handle it a certain way. When something has value and it's in your possession, you conduct yourself a certain way. Come on, ladies. You know, if you had that dollar store purse, that's one type of behavior. But if you got that real deal Holyfield, like that real Birkin, not the smirking. The Birkin. You conduct. I mean, listen, if you had a real Birkin, come on now. Some of y'all, if y'all had a real Birkin, you couldn't even get your Bible out. You'd be in church just like this right here. This your Birkin bag. I'd be like, turning your Bible. You'd be like, trying to get that Birkin. Somebody look at you, you be like, Huh? Walk into the car with that Birkin bag like. Raining, you take the hat off your husband's head. You be all right. You be all right. Why then do we treat the Lord so bad? Contaminating his life with all of our filth. Treating him so poorly, not willing to worship, not willing to praise. Verse 3 speaks of the value of Jesus. He is the radiance of his glory. The exact representation of his nature. Radiance. Let's work this. He is the radiance. I've been bothered by this verse since November. Because the word radiance is only connected to Jesus. It's the only place in all of Scripture where this word is used. And they connect it to Jesus. This is why English kind of does us a disjustice when we read in the Bible, because you read radiance and you go, oh, I know what that word means. And then you normalize. You read radiance and you normalize it because the words are normal to you. Like, you know, somebody comes out, you know, it's their wedding day, huh? And the bride walks in and, oh, she looks radiant. Just throw that word around. That ain't this word. That's just the only English we had to try to explain who Jesus is. And due to the uniqueness of the utilization, there's some debate over exactly what it means. There's two possibilities. One, I should have put this on the screen. Refulgence, R-E-F-U-L-G-E-N-C-E, refulgence. Refulgence, R-E-F-U-L-G-E-N-C-E. Refulgence. Y'all about to learn some words. Refulgence. That's one possible meaning. I'm going to get there. Here's the next one. Effulgence. Effulgence. Just take the R-E, take the R off, add an E. Some people spell it with two Fs. Some people spell it with one because the word is so odd. So refulgence, effulgence. Now, so I've been debating, for all of my word lovers in here, which one made sense? But by 2 weeks. Then it hit me like 3 days ago. So watch. Refulgence means a bright light reflected from a light source. Y'all with me? So if Jesus, that word radiance, so let's put refulgence in there. If he is the refulgence of his glory, that would mean that Jesus reflects the glory of God. That he reflects it. Now, the thing about a reflection, Lord have mercy, is that the reflection actually has no light. This would actually break the deity of Jesus. It would mean he looks bright, but he contains no brightness in and of himself. That he's simply a reflection. Lord have mercy. If you get up and look at the mirror, you see yourself, but the self that you see is not you. Y'all didn't hear me. If I get up and I look in a mirror, I see myself, but the self that I see is not me. It's just a reflection of me. It's exact, but it ain't me. So refulgence don't work. Effulgence, on the other hand, means a bright light emanating from the source or from itself. Jesus is the effulgence of his glory. Watch this. So Jesus is not a recipient of light. He is light. He don't just reflect the Father. He embodies the Father. He not just here as a representative of God. He's here as God in flesh. This is good stuff. This verse actually solidifies the union of Son and Father. We just miss it because we're looking to see words in the Bible like Trinity. Like that's what we want to see. I saw somebody the other day, you know, some Facebook theologian who said, you can't find nowhere in the Bible where Jesus says that he's God. Now, first of all, yes, I can. I and my Father are one. That's number one. I decided, look, I'm about to teach y'all how to live in peace. You know what I did? Scroll. I'm not doing this with you. Because I don't have time. Huh? The Bible says don't cast your pearls. I just gave somebody peace. And so, but if you want to go deeper, this verse is the one. You're the radiance. You are literally the glory walking. You're the walking glory. Good God Almighty. He actually said it. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, this should cause us to really feel some type of way. You know why? You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Whoops. So that means that when I get full of the Holy Ghost, I should have that same effulgence. Oh, it done got quiet in here now. See, y'all was with me for a second. They done turned me off. Next channel. No. As he is, so are we in this world, not in the life to come. That verse is not apocalyptic. It is not speaking about some eschatological moment in the great by and by, as the old folk would say. No, I'm supposed to exemplify Jesus, not as reflection, but as embodiment. It's quiet in here. As a matter of fact, Dr. Gramacki, in his exposition on Hebrews, says it like this: Christ manifested in his human existence the eternal glory, which was innately his. He goes on to say, as one of the persons of the Trinitarian monotheistic divine being, that is good to me. The Trinitarian monotheistic divine being. Y'all just chew on that for a week. I said, Gramacki, talk. Trinitarian monotheistic divine being. 3-1 divine. Wonderful. The brightness, he goes on to say, therefore was a radiation of holiness as from an original light source. Jesus was not just fully man, he was fully God. He like, I'm just not down here as an ambassador. I'm down here as the Father himself. This means that he was and is able. Let me give y'all the gospel. He was and is able to do what nobody else can do. See, y'all, we be missing the good stuff, huh? You mean to tell me that since he's not like everybody else, I can't treat him like everybody else. I can't handle him like everybody else. I can't carry him like everybody else. I shouldn't talk to him like everybody else. See, all this minimization of his divinity has caused us to talk real reckless to the Father. We reckless. Approach him any old type of way. It's time for worship and we kikiing. No. You know, and I told y'all at the beginning of this year, they talking about y'all do too much over there. Correct. Because there got to be honor to unlock what God wants to do. So yes, at 9 a.m., it's time to pray. Hush. Come in and pray. Because we're talking to the radiance. See, we pray to the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit. Okay. I said it too fast. We pray to the Father, by the Son, through the Spirit. And we talking to the radiance. Let me go ahead and get myself together. Have you ever? Okay. Y'all know in England, when a royal has a party or a marriage or anything like that, you can't just show up in what you want to wear. A royal wedding? Show up in the outfit you picked. If you want to. You ain't coming in here. Because in order to come before the king, there's a requirement. And we've missed that. This is why we can't get a pronouncement from the king. Because we yelling from outside the gate. Because we ain't dressed properly in our spirit to even come inside. You still carrying strife and hardness in your heart. And so you yelling to the king when there's a seat at the table, but you can't go there because in him there is light and no darkness at all. He's worthy. He's worthy. And you got to live like that. Matter of fact, let's look at the verse in the Amplified, since maybe y'all ain't caught it yet. He is the sole expression, good God Almighty, of the glory of God. Look at the parenthetical. The light being, the outraying or radiance of the divine. He is the perfect imprint and very image of God. Good God Almighty. Let's do it again. He's the sole expression. So this means, oh, come on, let's work. Let's do a little apologetics. So this means when they say that the Buddha and Jesus are on the same level, you're a liar. This means that when you make the Prophet Muhammad and Jesus on the same level, you're a liar. This means that when you try to make Krishna and Jesus on the same level, you're a liar, because there is only one soul. See, the word soul means singular. There is a soul expression of the glory of God. This is what makes the Holy Ghost so powerful, because when I have the Holy Ghost in me, I'm not the expression. He's still the expression. That's why everybody all twisted over what Jesus looked like. I don't care. See, we still ain't caught it. Jesus could have used whatever he felt like. He could have been tall. He could have been short. Could have been pudgy. Could have been skinny. Wouldn't have made no difference. Blue, polka dot, orange, pale, super dark, green, I don't care, because it was not the outside. It was what he carried. This is why it was so powerful for them to rip his flesh. Okay. Go ahead. Take this flesh off if you want to. It's been holding me too long anyway. You think I'm mad that you ripping the flesh off my bones? You have no idea what you are revealing. the more, come on now, the more you pull off, the more glory gets revealed. I'm not afraid of you ripping this flesh suit off. It was temporary anyway. This is why he didn't have to say a mumbling word. He was grateful. He like, whoo, finally. Why you think, huh? Dead folk got to getting up out of graves and veils got to renting miles away. Huh? And the mountain goes to shaking and the lightning comes and everybody on the hill is like, what in the world is going on? Because y'all done messed around and unleashed the Kraken. The glory of God. He like, uh-huh. Should have kept them clothes on. Y'all didn't know who y'all was fooling with. He's the soul expression. As a matter of fact, the writer of Hebrews, oh boy, y'all okay? Amen. Doubles down on his expression in the next statement. Watch this. He is the exact representation of his nature. Put verse 3 back on there in the NASB. The exact representation of his nature. Exact representation. Put brackets around that in your Bible. It's actually one word in the Greek. Exact representation. It's one word in the Greek. And it's like where we get our word character. But not character as in the way somebody behaves. But the original word denoted an engraver or an engraving tool. Later on, it came to mean the impression itself. Something engraven, cut in, stamped. A letter, a mark, a sign. And so when they say that he is the exact representation of his nature, he is literally God's nature stamped, cut in. Are y'all following me? Okay, I'll give it to you another way. An English word that will describe this is he is the facsimile. Facsimile. Watch it. Where we get fax machine from? Here's the thing about a fax machine. What you put in on one side comes out exactly the same on the other side. Jesus is the facsimile of the nature of God. So when God so loves the world that he gave, he sent a fax. Of his son. Y'all gonna walk with me today. He did not send a rep, a spokesman, not even an angel. Oh, y'all. He didn't send Gabriel. He didn't send Michael. He was like, hold on. I need to fax myself. Now, if I show up, I'm just gonna radiate light. So I gotta make a transmission into a womb. Otherwise, they won't recognize me. So he sent a fax to Mary. This is why Joseph couldn't have nothing to do with it. Joseph, if you touch her, you're gonna taint the transmission. If a fax gets tainted in transmission, you can't trust what's on the other side. Yeah. Glory. And so God was like, look, don't you touch this woman. Because my nature has to be exact. This means Jesus didn't become divine. He came out the womb divine. The full nature of God was in him at the beginning. This is why the stars were obeying the baby. The stars were sitting there. He's coming out the womb, and the stars was like, he's here. We should shine and tell others. He can't talk yet in this flesh suit. So the star said, we'll preach a sermon. Oh, y'all fooling with me. He couldn't talk. He couldn't say nothing. So the stars was like, I got a word. He's here. Since all he got right now in the body that the Father had to use was a little goo-gooing and gaga-ing, the stars were like, we'll speak and we'll tell the world that he's here. The very stars began to preach. And the wise men said, I hear your sermon. The stars called a revival at the birth. I want to run. The stars called a revival at the birth of my Savior. The stars literally said, come one and come all and see what is in this manger. And you mean to tell me we got all these preachers and we can't do nothing but dance? The stars preach. These preachers pimp. And I speak in this place. Before the Lord allows his word to be tainted, he'll raise up rocks. And if y'all don't think that the Lord will use inanimate objects to prove his point, let me remind you of Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah saw the seraphim. And he says, one cry to another, holy, holy, holy. Watch this. And the Bible says that the post of the door moved at them that cried, y'all. In other words, that sermon was so powerful that doorways, inanimate objects, began to shift around and say, we must obey the word of the Lord. So if a doorpost moves at the voice of God, if the rocks will cry out at the voice of God, if the stars will cry out at the voice of God, if the mountains will skip and the waters will part, what makes you think that your cancer won't bow down and your sickness won't back up and your heartache can't break? I know a man who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all. He's worthy. I said he's worthy. He's worthy. I said he's worthy. And you gotta live like that. I will not be afraid of the arrow that comes by day. Y'all not in here. He's worthy. He's worthy. I'm gonna live like he's worthy. I'm gonna talk like he's worthy. I'm gonna treat you like he's worthy. He's the facsimile. He's the facsimile. And you're supposed to be the same. You got to repent when you don't act like him. Ah, yes, Lord. You got to repent when you don't think like him. Paul said we're supposed to have the mind, not of the ancestors. Oh, the mind, not of a Libra, not of a Capricorn, not of a Pisces, the mind, not of your chakra, the mind. Yes, you're supposed to have the mind of Christ. Oh, not of retrograde. Y'all not in this place. You gotta have the mind of Christ, not of your oils, not of your, you sage in it. You gotta have the mind of Christ. I think like the radiance. I think like the facsimile. Some of us got to repent right now. My bad. I don't even know where them thoughts came from. Because that's not the facsimile. That's not the radiance. Some of y'all got to repent mid-sentence while you on your way, while you gearing up your motor to give somebody the full business. But Bishop, they deserve it. But the Radiance, I know they deserve it. Oh, I want to, I feel like preaching today. I know they deserve it. But so did the people on Golgotha. They deserved it. Yes, they did. They had done all manner of stuff to my Jesus. They deserved it. They had pulled his beard out, hair by hair. They deserved it. They had, come on now, they had whipped him until his bones showed. They deserved it. But Jesus said, Father! Forgive them. You know why? Because they don't know what they're doing. As a matter of fact, though, if we're really honest, Lord, if they stop, my bad, Lord, if they stop, something ain't gonna happen. So let them go ahead, because they have no idea. They have no idea. Huh? You know, it's funny. Because Bishop Desmond Daphne, they talk about how he received 39 lashes. Y'all know the script, 39. 39 lashes. And I know all the preachers talk about how the major categories of disease. He received a lash for every major category. I hear you. I hear you, preachers. I hear you. It's good stuff. I hear you. Until you read about Paul. Oh. Now, Jesus received 39 lashes and the whole world changed. Paul said he received 39 lashes three times. Then didn't nothing change but him. Paul said he received 39 lashes three times. Didn't nothing change but him. You got to understand that, watch this, what you've been through, oh, is for you. Jesus already did his part. Don't you be sitting up there. Because see, when it happened to Jesus, he did what you nobody else could do. Come on now. Paul's resume looked real good, but his blood was not efficacious. His blood couldn't do what Jesus' blood could do. He shed a bunch of it, and nobody benefited from the bloodshed of Jesus. Oh, but the blood, I mean the blood of Paul, but the blood of Jesus. That's a different blood. Didn't nobody benefit from the blood of Paul? Everybody sitting there watching Paul bleed like po' thing. But one drop of Jesus' blood. He died. I feel good today. Kid, he died a long time ago. He died before I got here, but I'm benefiting from what he did. His blood gonna touch the grandbabies I ain't had yet. Y'all still ain't here. His blood is already looking into my future. His blood is keeping me in my present. His blood is letting me know that everything that I've been through is not in vain. Y'all leave me alone today. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. I ain't gonna cry over it another day. I went through it, but I survived it. I'm not going to be depressed over it another day. Yep, though you slay me, yet will I trust him. I ain't got no more sad stories. How you doing? Oh, I'm just radiating. Seem like you smile a lot. It's not me. It's he who lives within me. I'm radiating. Oh, but inflation, but I'm radiating. Oh, but they laying off, but I'm radiating. Oh, but the doctor said, but I'm radiating. I got somebody in me that's bigger than what's on the outside of me. If I was you, I would have went crazy. Listen, let me introduce you to a man who can change your crazy. Who can make you shout when you ain't got no reason but him? Yes, sir. Come on. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He's enough. Y'all excuse me. He's enough to make me dance. He's enough to make me declare his goodness. He's enough to make me cry aloud. He's enough. He's the radiance. Jesus was God in flesh. That should cause us to look at him different. My bad, Jesus. I've been real reckless. Been real reckless. I've been talking real reckless. My bad, Jesus. I got beside myself a little bit. My bad. I had a moment. My bad, Jesus. My emotions got the best of me. I own it, Jesus. I own it. It was me. I got sick of hearing it. And I got sick of what they were saying. And I went on ahead. My bad, Lord. But thank you for your grace. Because, Jesus, I know you got plenty of smoke on me. See, y'all, okay. Some of y'all got to shut your mouth. Because Jesus got a lot of stuff that he can pull out on you. It ain't nothing but God. That's been your grace. That's been your mercy. I bet you better sit there and fold your little divine hands up. Close your little divine mouth. And the only thing that should come out of this mouth is, God, you are good. And your mercy endure forever. Why y'all think that the angels ain't got a whole lot of words? Because what else they gonna say? Holy. Holy. What else we gonna say? Holy. What else we got to say? Holy. 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 What else am I gonna say? Huh? And I know, Sister Kay, I know we come to church in 2024, Sister Pat, and we done got real modern. Got real bougie. That's why we ain't no power. Because watch this. Some of the stuff we singing ain't got no theology in it. I'm talking about we on these old songs. That's an old song. Don't be singing all that old stuff. We want some new stuff. Come on now. Something hits you when you get to singing at the cross. At the cross. Where I first. So the and the burdens of my heart. It was there by faith I received my, and now I am happy. Now, I take that over walk it out. I take that. I feel better, so much better, since I lay. I take that. Friends don't treat me. I take it. I take it. I take, there is a fountain filled with, y'all, see, yeah, I take that, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath. Lose. I take that. He's worthy. I said he's worthy. Y'all, excuse me. He's worthy. Yes, he is. Some of y'all right now, my bad, God. My bad. My bad. My bad. I've been talking a little reckless, but I'm back now. I'm back. I had a moment. They was acting up, and I thought about slapping a couple people, but I'm back. I'm back. He's worthy. Now, hold on. Y'all hold on. I got one more passage. I got one more thing to say. I'm going to get it said too. It is only 11 o'clock. And I know y'all gave me extra time at the beginning. And I done used all that and all this time too. However, it's playoff season. And we in OT. Big things happen in OT. 1 Peter chapter 2. This is it. Somebody say live like it. Come on, say live like it. Oh, y'all was turning in your Bibles. Y'all was turning. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy, Veronica. He's worthy. He's worthy, Christina. He's worthy. But Bishop, no, he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy, Art. He's worthy. But I'm going through. He's worthy, Charlie. He's worthy. He's worthy, Leanna. He's worthy. He's worthy, Carlos. He's worthy. He's worthy, Danielle Byrd. He's worthy. I bet y'all better stop complaining. I said, stop complaining. But Bishop, this is going on, and this is going on, and this is going on. And who do you carry? He's worthy. I'm going to live like he's worthy. You did too much for me to walk around like what you did on the cross didn't matter. I bet you I won't. I bet you I'm going to walk around like the blood is something. Like your death meant something. Here it is. You are. I know it. He's worthy. You're a chosen race. You a chosen race. Somebody say it's talking about me. Come on, say he's talking about me. Okay, y'all see, I was trying, Kia. I was trying to let it go. Let me help y'all. I'm going to read the verse and I'm going to be done. But I need to get some people free. All this. I'm hurting. I'm going through. I'm just, all that. Listen. If you want to heal, for real, I can introduce you to an instantaneous healer. All this is going to take time. You ain't met my Jesus. You ain't met the one I know. He specializes in suddenly. That's the Savior I know. All you got to do is change your mind. Huh? All you got to be is, all right, I done messed around and shifted my perspective. Huh? I opened my eyes so I can see. You a chosen race. I don't feel good enough. Are you saying the Bible's a lie? A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that not so we can have better church, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him, capital H, personal pronoun, relating to a deity. In other words, He saved you not so you can be famous. He saved you so you can go tell some people about Him. This thing is about Jesus. Huh? Jesus. You got to walk around like, I know somebody that'll change all that. I know somebody who'll fix all that. I know somebody who will take you from broken to healed, from darkness to light, from down to up. I know somebody. And it's not me. It's He who lives. Proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness. See, that's the gospel. See, we're missing the gospel. This is the gospel. He called you out of darkness. The darkness you put yourself in. The darkness you enjoyed. The darkness that you were proficient at. Oh, he called you out of that. He called you out of that bedroom. He called you out of that bar. He called you out of that crack house. Yes, he did. He called. Don't look at me like that. Because some of you know, if it had not been, if it had not been, you owe God a debt of praise. You owe God a debt of worship. Some of us were sinking so far. I'm telling you, them songs got good theology. That song said, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise, but the master from the sea heard. Wait. See, y'all missed the theology of the song. I'm sinking to rise no more, but the master from the sea, not from the shore. The master, like, you sinking, but I'm out here with you. I ain't got to swim out there to get you. You ain't got to wait for me to throw you a line. All you had to do was call on the name of the Lord while he may be found. Called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Verse 10. Oh, come on. You were once not a people. You were nobody without him. But now, you are the people of God. You hadn't received mercy. But now, you've received mercy. Come on, verse 11. I urge you, aliens and strangers, abstain from fleshly love. I mean, just quit it. He been too good for you to keep doing that. I mean, come out of that. Which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior, y'all. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them. Y'all, this is good. Lead us up. Glorify God in the day of visitation. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. So in the thing in which they slander you. Oh. You mean to tell me I'm going to keep doing good. Keep lying if you want to. Because eventually you're going to have to celebrate the good that I did. Watch this. And some of them might not even be lying. Okay. Some of them might be telling the truth because they did that dirt with you. But that's okay. Let your good outlive their memory. We used to, sure did. We used to, yep, that was me. We used to, yep, sure did. Then eventually it's going to be like, man, that's been years ago. Yeah. Next conversation, I can't remember the last time I. Yeah. Uh-huh. I ain't seen you at the spot. Uh-huh. In a while. Yeah, because I'm letting my new life outlive your memory of my old life. If you won't let it go, Jesus already did. He's worthy. We got to live like it. Somebody, Say this with me. This is the last day. I carry any negative weight. That's it. That's it. It's the last day. I didn't say you ain't gonna have no weight. It just ain't gonna be negative. I got a cross. Huh? But I just know that my cross is gonna take me to a crown. We good.
Thank you.
Huh?
Thank you.
Now I'm gonna pray for you.
Thank you.
Y'all getting this today?
Amen.
Somebody just shout, he's worthy.
He's worthy.
I'm gonna pray. And that's it. Thank Jesus. Because if it would have been us, Lord, help us. Now I'm going to pray. And if there's anybody in this place, like, I'm not even saved. This is your moment. This is your moment to get saved. To give your life to Jesus. Bishop, I'm saved. I just want to join the church. This is not your moment. This is not that moment. If you want to be a part of this ministry, it's another moment for that. This moment is sacred for people who want to come to the Lord. This is the salvation moment. Amen. Well, Bishop, you never ask anybody to join because, listen, church membership is secondary to your membership in the kingdom. I need to make sure you and Jesus is okay, because making you church proficient when you ain't God proficient don't mean nothing. Amen. I tell you how, if you want to come into covenant with this place, join with the body of Christ. But first, I need to make sure you know Jesus, the one who is worthy. Amen. If you know you need him and you know that you don't have him, as I pray, you can just walk to me. Just as I pray, you just stand up and walk. And if you need somebody to walk with you, you just tell the person next to you, you might be saved, but come on up here with me, because I don't know about that guy. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I honor you and I give you praise. God, you're good. Matter of fact, you're better than good. You're even better than great. You're better than greatest. Lord, for a while, I'm just going to say you're priceless. It's the best word I got right now, God, that you're priceless. And Lord, if there's anybody in this room that does not know you, touch their heart that they may come before you, the priceless King, the priceless Savior, the immutable one, that there is no variableness and no shadow of turning. I thank you for all you've done and all you're doing in this place. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Clap those hands.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.